When was the last time that you had a really nasty shock? You know, one of those heart-sinking panic attack moments. I didn't know it was going to happen, but I frankly had one yesterday. I'm expecting a phone call from my wife to say I'll be there in a minute, and she tells me she's broken down, the clutch has gone, she's in Sevenoaks, I'm in Tunbridge, I've got to get myself to Sevenoaks, so not good. But have you ever had one of those moments, like when you get to the airport and you can't find your passport? What about that moment when you go to pay a bill and you find there's no money in your bank account? You know you had the money, but it's gone. Or have you ever had that moment when you get the bill for a meal and it's vastly more than you were expecting and you have generously said that you'd pay? When I was about 12 years old, I had to take an intelligence test. It only had 2 pages, and I got it done in no time. I thought, look at me. I am so intelligent. This paper was not designed for someone with my intellect. With about 1 minute to go, I turned it over and realized there were another 10 pages. I can still remember that horrible feeling, the panic, the shock. There must be some mistake. Or how about this for a nasty shock? You invite someone over for a meal. You invite someone over who is really important for a really posh meal, and it turns into a complete disaster. That's what happens here. There are 3 characters, Jesus, Simon the Pharisee, and a woman who has no name, but she is known to have lived a sinful life. She is very, very probably the local prostitute. Everyone seems to know her. Let me give you a little bit of background here. These are the days before Hello Magazine or TV Times or Vogue. Okay, today, if you're rich and famous, you can invite the cameras into your home to film your idyllic family life. Back then, if you were a wealthy Pharisee like Simon, sometimes for a special dinner with a special guest, uninvited people were allowed in, and believe it or not, they could hang around the edge, and they could watch, and they could listen. Okay? I know it sounds a bit peculiar, but I guess there wasn't an awful lot of entertainment back then. So today, we have the National Trust. Back then, you had Simon the Pharisee. But the last person Simon expects to see at this very special meal is the local prostitute. I mean, what a nerve. What an absolute nerve to turn up to this meal. The Pharisee and the prostitute do not mix. Yeah? How on earth she got in is a bit of a mystery, but it gets far, far worse. It would have been embarrassing enough if the local prostitute had come in and just stood quietly at the back. But she doesn't do that. She proceeds to make a complete and utter exhibition of herself. So do look with me. Verse 38, first reading. Jesus, remember, is reclining at the table. You didn't sit then. You kind of lay on a couch to eat. Verse 38, she stands at his feet weeping. She wets his feet with her tears. She wipes his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet. She cracks open her alabaster jar and she pours perfume on them. What on earth is going on? By any standard, is that not pretty outrageous behavior? And Simon the Pharisee is aghast. He can't believe it. Verse 39, he says to himself, oh man, I have made a really big mistake here. I've been conned. I thought this guy was a prophet from God, but he can't be. Either he doesn't know who this woman is, and if he's a prophet, he jolly well ought to know who she is. Or even worse, he does know who she is and he's letting her do that to him. You see, Simon is a law keeper and the woman is a law breaker. And the Pharisees always find Jesus very offensive because the Pharisee believes in a God who cares only for law keepers, not lawbreakers. However, listen to this. There's a twist in this story. The twist is, who really is the lawbreaker here and who is the law keeper? Okay, this meal has been a disaster. This meal cannot get any worse, but then it does. Jesus speaks. Verse 40. Simon, says Jesus, I've got something to tell you. And he tells this little parable, which is the key to understanding the whole story. So please, just look with me. Verse 41. This little parable. There are two debtors. What do they have in common? They both owe money, and neither of them can pay what they owe. But verse 42, the moneylender forgave. He cancelled the debts of both of them. Both are completely forgiven. And it's a reminder that from start to finish, the gospel message is a message of grace. And here, in this parable, is a little picture of the lavishness of grace. You see, justice, okay, would be that these two debtors pay what they owe. That's obvious, isn't it? You owe money, you should pay it. That's justice. Mercy, though, would be to knock a bit off. Okay, you owe 500 denarii, let's call it 250. And that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you love someone to do that? That would be mercy. But it would be absolutely no use here. It would be no use at all because they don't have any money. They don't have the money to pay. What they need is something far more generous. They need the debt to be cancelled. And that's what they get. And that is what we call grace. Grace. But then Jesus applies this little parable very directly to the two people at the meal. You see, the two debtors who are so similar. The two debtors in the parable, they're so similar, they have one big difference, don't they? One owes 500 denarii, one owes 50. Who's going to be more grateful for the cancelled debt? Who's going to love the moneylender more? Verse 43, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You've judged correctly, Jesus said. Now remember, here's the thing. The Bible very often uses debt as a picture of sin. Sin, the Bible says, is not giving God what he is owed. And the debt that he is owed is our complete obedience. But we've failed to obey God, which leaves all of us with a debt that needs paying. Simon and the woman are therefore both debtors, like all of us. They are debtors to God. Listen, please, this is really important. But because she knows she is a very great debtor, she therefore knows that she is in need of very, very great forgiveness. And therefore she responds to Jesus with very great love and very costly devotion. Weeping, washing, pouring perfume and kissing. You see, what looks at first glance like absolutely outrageous behaviour is actually the overwhelming love of someone who knows their vast quantity of debt dealt with, torn up, cancelled, forever, forever. I've told this story a few times, so do forgive me if you've heard it, but I think it's so helpful, I'm going to tell it again, okay? It's about the man who buys a Rolls Royce. Have you heard this one? He buys a beautiful, brand new Rolls Royce. He takes the ferry to France. He gets to Dieppe, and he goes on a holiday, traveling all around Europe in his beautiful Rolls Royce. Rolls Royce breaks down. This really resonates with me now. The Rolls-Royce breaks down. He contacts Rolls-Royce back in the UK. I'm having trouble with my Rolls-Royce. What do you suggest I do? Well, Rolls-Royce, fly over a mechanic. I don't know where he is. He's in Germany or somewhere. They fly a mechanic to Germany. They put the man up in an expensive hotel. The mechanic repairs the car.
He flies back to the UK and the man is able to continue on his holiday. The man finally gets back to the UK and he's left wondering, what is this going to cost me? So he writes Rolls-Royce a letter saying, please can you tell me how much I owe you? He receives a letter from Rolls-Royce and this is what it says. Dear sir, we have examined our records and there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls-Royce. You see, that is how forgiveness from Jesus works. Somebody drags up your past. You remember all the mistakes that you have made. All those debts that you owe. All that sin. And God looks in the filing cabinet and he says, there is no record anywhere in my file that my child ever did anything wrong. He looks at Louis Wilson and he says, there's no record that he has ever done anything wrong. Ever. You see, when Jesus forgives your sin, he forgets it. He forgets it. It's gone. It's washed away. Forgotten. Dealt with forever. So do you now see why this woman was so utterly over the top in her gratitude and her act of devotion? Do you see now why? It comes from a heart that knows what a huge debtor she is and what extreme grace Jesus has offered her. You know, every month we toil through this booklet, the beautiful booklet, but we toil through it, don't we? And I begin every communion service with these words. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I read it every month, but I'm no better at doing it now than I was 20 years ago. Here's why this little passage is so helpful. If you want to love Christ more, you must cultivate a greater awareness of how much you have been forgiven. If you would like to see manifested in your life the sort of devotion to Jesus that this woman displayed, you have got to have the same awareness of your deep sinfulness that she had. Love for God flows from gratitude. And gratitude flows from recognizing the extreme debt cancellation that Jesus has won for you. The alternative is Simon the Pharisee. He understands the parable. He answers correctly, but he needs to apply it. So very quickly, let's look at the second reading. Very quickly. Jesus helps him to apply it. He can't apply it. Jesus does it for him. Verse 44. Jesus says to Simon, right at the start, second reading, verse 44. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? Simon, I came into your house. I came as your guest. But there was no water for my feet. There was no kiss to welcome me. There was no oil for my head. Do you see the contrast with this woman? The weeping, the washing, the pouring, the perfume, the kissing. And then comes the sting. This is the sting in the tail, right at the end of verse 47. To Simon, who thinks so well of himself, who's so respectable, who clears up after his dog every time, who gets along to church nearly every week. He is so, so respectable. This is the sting. Jesus says to him, whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Ouch. Who actually is the law keeper here and who is the law breaker? What is the greatest commandment? It's to love the Lord. But by his actions, Simon has shown that he loves little. He loves little because, unlike the woman, he feels no forgiveness. He feels no forgiveness because he feels no need of it. I am so full of my good deeds. I'm so full of my self-righteousness, my superiority. I don't need forgiving. And why do you keep telling me I do? And if I don't need forgiving, why on earth should I be thankful? God is my debtor for all I've done for him, isn't he? Yes. But if I have no thanks, I will have no love, and I will be in mortal danger. Mortal danger. You see, we all have a debt we cannot pay, and God is offering to cancel the debt. All of it? All of it. Past, present, future. All. That day, that woman, that town prostitute, a sinful life, many sins, she went away publicly forgiven. Very publicly forgiven. Verse 48, your sins are forgiven. Everyone sees it, everyone hears it, but there's a question, isn't there? There's a question lurking in the background. And if my next door neighbour was here today, he'd point it out, even if you can't see it, he'd say, it's not fair. This is not fair, okay? How can she be forgiven? How can God just forgive? How can he cancel someone's debt like that? It flies in the face of everything we think is right. And the answer, of course, is the cross. Do you remember, the debt we all owe is our complete obedience to God the Father, but we can't pay. We can't pay. Anything we offer God is part of the life of obedience. We already owe him, so we can't catch up. But Jesus did. He lived a life of complete obedience. He had no debt. He had no sin. And yet a few months after this party, he dies. On the cross, Jesus pays the debt we owe. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it with his blood. You see, the woman at Simon's party, she could not know how Jesus would procure her forgiveness. She just knew her debt was great. She knew she couldn't pay, and she knew that Jesus was able and willing. And that, friends, is saving faith. That is what faith is. It's knowing your need, it's knowing who can deal with it, and it's coming to him to deal with it. God is offering to cancel our debt, but one day the offer will run out. It will be too late. What we've got to do is seek debt cancellation now. Understand the problem. Come to Jesus, who can take it all. One of the great, great themes of Luke's gospel, we see it every time, is that Jesus has not come for people who think they are good. He's come for people who realize they're bad. The Pharisee cannot see this, but the sinful woman here could. Can you? Amen.